Famous verse, a very beloved verse, and it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Just a simple and powerful statement, and I thought to start off, I want to ask everybody what, anybody knows what this is? Bart does already, because he talked about it. Any guesses as to what this is?
I know because I read.
This is a grandfather's baby chair seatbelt feeder. Okay? And it's good. When your hands start to get a little bit less flexible and you've got to get that seatbelt through that little gap in the back of the car chair that is too narrow for your hands, and you've got to like pull the seatbelt out and it wants to jump back and you're trying to get it through. This thing was designed, you put it through, you hook the seatbelt on and you pull it through. And that changed my life. And this was made on purpose. I made this on purpose. It's in New Zealand, it's known as a number 8 wire solution. If you can't fix it with number 8 wire and duct tape, you're not using enough number 8 wire or enough duct tape. But the message this morning is we were made on purpose, for a purpose. And that's what our scripture tells us. God made us to do a very specific job, and a job that is a whole lot more important. It brings a whole lot more good than just feeding the car chair. But that's what we're going to bear in mind as we look at this beautiful scripture. We are his workmanship, created for good works. And what we're doing today is we're starting a series on purpose. We call the series, well, we're starting it on purpose, but it's called Purpose. And what we're wanting to do is go to scripture just to reinforce. There might be some here, younger folk or whatever, who's just like, what is my purpose in life? Why am I here? What is it all about? And hopefully this journey will help you to get a sense of that. But then for all of us, there might be others of us who've got quite a strong sense of God's purpose. But this will then just be a honing and a strengthening and a reinforcing and a scaffolding of that, so we can grow in our fulfilling God's purpose. And when we look at our passage this morning, the key to look there is always who God is. And it's God himself who's the initiator. He's the one. The Bible says he's the one that created us. He's the one that made us. And we always want to look at him. We want to look at his character. We want to look at his pleasure, what his purpose is, so that we can live out. This statement is in such contradiction to the common worldview that we are surrounded by. And the common worldview that surrounds us and tries to influence us with advertising, whatever it might be, is that of atheistic materialism. Darwin came up with this loopy theory that has been established and accepted as fact, that we are nothing more than just a chance chemical reaction. And we're the product of that. And that's all there is. There's nothing more than that brief span of chemical reactions. And then there's nothing. The reason why that's so appealing to the world is it removes any accountability. It allows us to live as we want. Our life might be perfectly meaningless, but we can do what we want because we're not accountable to anybody. But the dark side, the despairing side of that is then there is absolutely no point. And I want to just do a little mental illustration, so I'm going to have to put my microphone down. We're all familiar with this activity. Oh, sorry. That was it. That was a chemical reaction. And it's gone. Smoke didn't even trigger the smoke detector. What despair, if that's all life is. And the flaming of that match, that little chemical reaction, in the length of the sermon, is huge compared to our little lifespan, in just a lifetime span of nothingness.
Do we really want that philosophy? How beautiful to know that this isn't true. This isn't true. We were made by an infinitely beautiful being with a heart full of incredible goodness. The Bible says the Lord is good, and He's full of goodness, and He wants to express that goodness to the world. So He made us on purpose, for a purpose, for good works that we could walk into them. And that just brings so much incredible beauty into our lives. What it does is it destroys any, if we want this fierce independence that I'm going to do it my way, we have to lay that aside. And we have to submit to the will of the Father. But the beautiful thing is, the Bible says, I've created these things for you to walk into it. And again, we see that beautiful partnership that all of Christianity is. God says, I made them. I made you for those things. You can walk. You walk in them. You're not an automaton. I'm not going to force you to walk in that way. I'll give you the choice. You are God-like. I made you in my image. I gave you free will. You can choose. Shall I walk in these things that God made for me, made me for, or not? And there's such a beauty in the great fulfillment. God is such a genius because, you know, He made our desires. He wired us. He gave us desires. So He says, make a choice. And so often, we make the right choice because He put that desire within us. And then we love to do what he made us to do. The only trouble is against sin. When the sin nature comes in, the sin nature wants to do its thing, not God's thing. And that's where we have to submit. We have to submit and go, no, I'm going to make my sin nature submit. It doesn't have a say in here. I'm going to do the stuff that God put desire in my heart to do, made me for, wired me for. I'm going to do that. And you want to make that choice. Because when we live in that, there's such fulfillment. Because that's what we were made for. I love this word workmanship, and I'm sure you've probably heard this. The Greek word there is poiema. It means to do. So we're God's doing. We get the English word poem from that. And it doesn't necessarily mean we can translate that as we are God's poem. But there's a beautiful word picture in a poem. A poem is something that's carefully constructed. Thank you, Steve.
And I know what I understood what you meant. Forgot to pick up the microphone. A poem, you plan. You plan the different stanzas. You plan the rhythm. You plan the rhyme. You plan the cadence, and it expresses something of what's in your heart. And God did that with us. He carefully thought out our lives. And what He wanted to write about Himself to the world through our lives. We are, in a sense, His poem. We are this intricately worked out instrument in His hand to do a specific task. And it just fills our hearts with such a sense of that's why I'm here. And it's so much better than the And nothing. The end of your life. And young people, you guys have got an incredible advantage. Speak to some of the gray hair around you. And pretty much all of us will tell you there's times we chose not. We made bad choices. And we wasted time. We caused ourselves pain. You've got a wonderful opportunity so early to choose between the and living every day of your life on purpose. That's going to have an eternal significance as we go to see. Look at Psalm 139, verse 15. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Isn't that so beautiful? Here God is saying that he in our mother's womb, He was there. He was shaping us. He was making us. And He was making us with all the days of our lives planned out. So he put into us, a unique personality. He put into us a specific mixture of gifts and abilities. He put into us physical characteristics. He put into us character traits to match the days of our lives that he wrote out. A perfect solution to the problems he wanted our life to fulfill, to fix in this broken world. The goodness he wanted to bring, where only we can bring. And that's the beauty of his workmanship. The Bible says that Jesus went around doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. We love that passage. Jesus went around doing good and messing up the devil's plans, destroying his works. And you know what? God hasn't stopped doing that. Jesus hasn't stopped doing that. But he's changed the agency. He did it when he was here. And then he gave his Holy Spirit to his new body, us. And he's given us, go and do those good things. And good things are so beautiful. They just bring life, healing, a reverse of everything satanic in this world. And we have been given that mandate from him. God wants to do good, that which is good for God, that which is good for others, and ultimately that which is good for us. The beauty and the joy of this whole thing. Now, our purpose, that purpose is not found within ourselves. We don't look within to find that purpose. That purpose we find in God. So we have to seek it out. And that's really what this journey is we're going on to try and just become more attentive to what it is that God wants us to do. And there are clues found within ourselves, because when we discover the God-given desires, we discover the God-given gifts, they're an indication of what God has called us to do. Because God doesn't give you a tennis racket and then tell you to go and play cricket. He gives you stuff that's specific to what he's calling you to do. And the beautiful thing is, there's also a freedom. It's not like there's this narrow little line that we have to walk along. God gives us a freedom where we use our choices, where we use what our heart loves. And God just delights in that sort of partnership of helping us find the stuff. And we can make a choice here and there, a choice there and there. It's not like this terrible little narrow line that, oh, out of the will of God. But we just stay when we know the things that please him. And we align our hearts with what pleases him. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, he gives us the desires of our heart. And we make beautiful choices. And God was like, oh, yeah, I love that. That was sort of creative. I can't say God didn't say, I didn't see that one. But he gives it to us to see. There's a beautiful freedom in it. You know what that also puts paid to a current philosophy is that you can be anything you want to be. That's sort of a worldly thing. It sounds so nice. Be anything. There's a book called The Secret. If you just think positively and you try hard enough, you can be anything you want to be. Now, I'd love to be a member of Mensa, which is an organization that if you're in the top 2% of the world scores for IQ tests, you can go and hang out with all these really brainy people. It would look really good on your CV. It would feel really good to be there. Now, I might want to be a member of Mensa. I could study. I could try as hard as I like. But I ain't going to be let into Mensa because I'm not stupid, but I'm not that clever. So I can't be whatever I want to be. It's obvious we can't be whatever we want to be. And the other thing is, we don't want to be anything we want to be. I could be an accountant. I could study. I might be able to pass, and I would become an accountant. But I'd be a very unhappy accountant, because figures and finances leave me cold. I would hate it. It also doesn't mean in life we don't have to sometimes do stuff that we don't like. But we're going to see later that actually God has got this ability to bring kingdom and redemption into whatever we do. And sometimes we have to do a job that's maybe not the thing that we delight in most, but we find that actually in that God is able to bring about his purposes. We will look at a bit about that later. It sort of shatters some of the current wisdom of the day, which isn't guarded by God's word. And there's another little illustration from the original series, but I think some of the guys will know what this tool is. Especially the engineers, I see them, Mark, John, smiling. This is a vernier caliper. But you can imagine this tool, like, what in the world is my purpose? Am I a hammer? Look a bit like a hammer, but I'm too sharp and too light and too fragile. Maybe I'm a chisel, got some sharp edges, but I'm also not strong enough for that and not sharp enough for that. What this is actually is an incredible piece of machinery that measures to the point of a centimeter the outside width of a pipe, the inside width of a pipe, the depth of a groove, and it's highly, highly helpful, especially in sort of metalwork and engineering. It's a very specifically designed tool, but you can imagine the tool, like, where do I fit in the toolbox? But it's got a wonderful purpose, and it works together with all the other tools. The vernier caliper will measure the thing so that the chisel and the hammer can do their work. And that's the beauty. Each one of us have got this unique gift in there. We need to find out all the wonderful things we can do. And you can lock it, and you can do all sorts of things with it. And we need to realize what it is that God wants us to do and how we fit in the toolbox. And the beautiful thing is we're part of a team, we're part of a tool, where each one of our gifts complement each other. And I thought of this, firstly there's the term, a square peg in a round hole. And AI generated that image. You're trying to hammer it in. It doesn't quite fit. You're in the hole, but some of you have been sort of knocked off and you don't quite do the job. And we never want to be a square peg in a round hole. We're trying to do what the flesh wants and what the devil wants. We're trying to do maybe what we want. When we're outside of God's will, we're a square peg in a round hole. And we're not really, we're living, but we're not really living in the fullness of that, just settledness in God's purpose. And the other little picture that came to mind was this toy. It's a beautiful picture of team, that we're all different shapes, and God has got a place for each one of us. And we realize that we're different to the people that we work together, but God's filling the cube with all these different gifts. And it's a beautiful thing. We're going to look as we discover purpose, we're going to go later into the year into gifting, and we're going to look at how God has gifted us all differently, but also how those gifts work together. We want to really become the body that God has called us to be, doing the things He's called us to do. What we do have to do is when we're looking at purpose, we've got to be careful of a couple of black holes. And there's a couple of black holes. Now, if you can imagine a star sort of wobbling through the universe, when it finds a planet wobbling through the universe, when it finds a big star, it begins to orbit around that star. It's pulled into the gravity field and orbits around that star, like our Earth orbits around the beautiful sun. And sometimes a star goes bad and it collapses in on itself and it becomes a black hole. And that black hole can also pull planets into it, and it just sucks them into oblivion. They don't know. And there's a couple of things that are black holes that the devil puts into this world and makes look very shiny, but they'll actually suck our purpose into oblivion. And one of those is me, myself, and I. The trinity of the flesh. Me, myself, and I. It's all about me. Hyper-individualism of the modern culture, where we live solely for ourselves, for our own gratification, for our own autonomy. And that's the sad answer that the world has come up with for what's the purpose of your life. Just you. Just live it up. That's all that it's about. And then it's all gone. What a terrible black hole that is. We've got to be so careful that we don't make it about ourselves. Cameras in my day, you had to hold like this and you pointed the lens and everybody else. If you wanted to be in the camera, you had in the picture, you had to get somebody else to take the picture. Now we've got this little thing that we press and we, a selfie. They say that 20-year-olds, I saw this statistic, 20-year-olds take more pictures of themselves than Augustus Caesar had images made of himself in his lifetime. 20-year-olds take more pictures of themselves in 1 month than Caesar Augustus, the Emperor of Rome, took it, made in his own lifetime. And there's not anything necessarily wrong with that, but we've just got to be so careful that we don't, that the focus has become on us. We turn the camera on ourselves, and then we're looking for those likes, and we're looking for those things. And actually, I'm jumping ahead to another point, but 2 Corinthians 5:14 says this: for the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that the one who died for all, all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him. And for their sakes he died and was raised. Don't you love this? Jesus changes the locus of control for believers. He says we used to live for ourselves, but he died for us, so that we could live for him, so that we could live for others. He set the example. I'll lay down my life on that dreadful cross, so that others can live in resurrection life and freedom from sin. Since I have done that, my love will control you. If you're born again, if you're a new creation in Christ, you were recreated to live for him with that same self-sacrificial love. So that blows me, myself, and I. We don't want to get sucked into that. The second thing is very close to that. It's the brother black hole, and that's the approval of others. When the appraisals and the judgment of others dictate our identity. And we need healthy encouragement from significant people in our lives. We do need that. But if the governing purpose of our life is to be accepted by others, to fit in, to get the likes, to get the friends, to get the followers. There's a difference between friends and followers. And we become captive to that. It's intensified in an online world. This is what a guy, Alan de Botton, said in his book, Status Anxiety. He said the approval of others mattered to us the approval of others mattered to us because we are afflicted by an uncertainty as to our own value. As a result, we tend to allow others' appraisals to play a determining role in how we see ourselves. Our sense of identity is held captive by the judges of those we live among. Quite a challenging statement. We don't want to be caught in that black hole. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 3, the J.D. Phillips puts it like this. Paul says this: but as a matter of fact, it matters very little to me what you or any man thinks of me. I don't even value my own opinion of myself. Paul recognizes I'm not going to be dictated to by the masses, by what the world thinks, by what the majority thinks. He says, I don't even trust myself. And some days we're like, oh, I'm such a loser or whatever. We even lie to ourselves. And sometimes we think we're so fantastic, and we think we're better than we are, and we think we're worse than we are. We've got to listen to what God says about us, and live in the humility and the glory of that. Paul also says in Galatians, he says, for Galatians 1 verse 10, he says, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. We can't please man and God. Paul says, I'm not worried about what people think about me. They might want to kill me, they might hate me because I preach Jesus, but I'm worried about what God thinks about me. And then the last black hole is the material things, the pursuit of wealth. We've got to be so careful that we don't get sucked into this black hole, because this black hole has got all the advertising backing it. You need this, you need that, you need this. Work harder, get a better career, get a better job. You need a bigger house, you need a better phone, you need to upgrade your car, more stuff, more things, more fancy holidays. Go after that. That's what life is all about. It's all about that. Jesus said, be very careful. In Luke 12, verse 15, he said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. And our self-worth is not equal to our net worth. And a lot of people fall into that trap. We want to be free from that. There's the favorite preacher's story where when Rockefeller died, someone asked his accountant, how much did he leave behind? And the accountant said, everything. We leave everything behind. We can't take anything with us into eternity, but people, but what we have done for God. And just to close that point off, 1 John 2 verse 15 puts it so beautifully. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers you only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, the pride of life in our achievements and our possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. And that's not just live forever, that's live in the fullness and the blessing of God. And that's where really what we want to, how we want to put our focus on. Because this is what it's all about. That we can live a life, and we've talked about this before, that we can please the God of heaven. That we, by our choices, by everyday living, can bless the heart of the one on the throne for all eternity. And we want to live for God's pleasure and for God's glory. This is the ultimate purpose. We do good here on earth, and we're going to look at the things that God wants us to do here on earth. But ultimately, when we look up and we just know there's this warm feeling in God's heart because we just did something that delights Him. That's reason. That's purpose. And also we just did something that adds to His glory. And let's look, goes back to the idea of Him creating us. Isaiah 43 and verse 7, it says, everyone who belongs to me, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed, yes, whom I made. When God created us, He created us for His glory. And that's the theme throughout scriptures. He's partnered us with this precious gift that we can add to His glory. And look at Habakkuk 2 verse 13. It says, behold, for is not the Lord of hosts, is it not from the Lord of hosts that the people's labor merely for fire? The nations weary themselves for nothing. Think of the match. All the great achievements of mankind and civilization and science, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Guys, there's one thing that will last forever. That's the glory of the Lord. He will be glorified for age upon age. And all mankind's doings that don't add to the glory of God, blown away. But you and I have been given the privilege to walk in the things, the good things that bring Him glory. And thus live a life that is going to have eternal glory. God says, share my glory. Share my burden. Share my labor. Share my suffering. In laying down your life to do good in this broken world, like my son did. And you will share in my glory forever. I want that. I'll pick that above anything else. And that's why it's so beautiful. Whatever we do, we can do the most menial task. And if we do it to bring pleasure to God and to bring glory to God, it will last forever. Look at Colossians 3 verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as a reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. This was written to slaves, to people who were the possession of someone else in the Roman Empire. They had to do the lowliest of tasks sometimes in a highly stratified situation, environment. They were they did the lowliest of tasks. And the Bible says, if you do that lowly task with God in mind, I'll do this well to glorify God. God says, eternal reward. You're doing that for my glory. You're doing that to make me known. And in the movie Chariots of Fire, one of the guys says to Eric Little, a guy who ran for the glory of God, he wouldn't run on a Sunday. He stood with his convictions. He was willing to lose his chance to get a gold medal and because he wouldn't run on a Sunday. That was his conviction. And he knew he couldn't be separated from, he did it as a witness for God. And he wouldn't run on a Sunday. And he ran another race. He was able to run the 400 rather than the 100. And he won. He got the gold. But he did it for the glory of God. But one of the guys in the movie says to him, Eric, you can praise the Lord by peeling a spud if you peel it to perfection. They were Scottish. It's not a very good accent. But we can do the most menial task, but if we do it well, if we do it with integrity, whether you're working in your own company, whether you're whatever job you might be doing, a teacher, a farmer, a building inspector, an engineer or a pastor or a stay-at-home mom, when you do it for God, when you do it with integrity and you do it well and you do it with God's glory in mind, raising your kids in the Word of God, all of that adds to that, the glory that will cover the earth. And it has an eternal reward attached to it. Isn't that incredible? So as we go on this journey, there's three things we're going to do. Sunday sermons are going to be about the broad purposes. Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at the broad purposes that all of us walk in, that all of us are called to do. And then in the grow groups, it's going to become a little bit more specific. So I encourage you to join a grow group if you're not part of one. It's going to become more specific. And how we find out the specifics of the specific stuff that God has called us to do based on our gifting and our personality. And then there's a workbook. If you can't print it, and we've sent an email to everyone so you can print your own. You can just use the electronic version. If you can't get it printed, we can also print it for you. This is the how to do it and how to strengthen it and how to stay strong in that. And these are for personal devotions. There's 36 personal devotions, and there's some excellent stuff in there. So guys, Timothy 2 verse 20 says this. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he is a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Isn't that beautiful? This little thing is useful to me, the master of the car, because it gets into somewhere where nothing else can get. And God says, what type of tool do you want to be? Do you want to be useful for eternal purposes to bring the glory of God? You can get in where nobody else can get. At your workplace, there's people there who you're the only Christian. You can get into somebody's heart, maybe that's from a different religion, but you've got a relationship with them because you've chatted to them after a soccer game or whatever. We can get into places to bring about the will of God, to bring the goodness into the world. We can choose what sort of instrument we want to be. Holy, for the glory of God, or just for the... That's our choice. So we are made on purpose, for a purpose. But you know what? It's more than that. We are made by holy hands. The hands of the God of the universe. You are covered in His fingerprints. You were made by holy hands for holy purposes. What a thing to pursue. What a thing to let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. And in closing, Acts 13 verse 36, David, it says this of David. For David, after he served the purposes of God in his own generation, fell asleep. In In New Zealand terminology, he carked it. But it didn't. He had done what God wanted him to do. What a way to end your life. When you peel over, it can be said of you, you did the purpose of God. It could be nothing, no more success, no more glory than that. Can we bow our heads? Father, we thank you for this morning and for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the purpose that you had in making us, Lord. When you created us at first and when you recreated us in Christ, it was to include us in this glorious story of you doing good, to intervene in a broken world and show your love, show your grace, show your mercy, show your character, write who you are on our lives so that others can read it, Lord. So that others can find their way to you, Lord, through the gospel. So others can be loved out of their place of love deficit, brokenness, into your arms of love, Lord. So I really pray as we go on this journey, Lord, as a church, I really pray, Lord, help us and work in us and challenge us. Help us to help each other as well, Lord. And I pray that we're going to be a community of people living for the purpose of God, knowing what to do, Lord, in these times. Please work in us, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's let God work in our hearts and worship Him.
Thank you.
purpose. That's what we want. Praise forever to the King of Kings. Just got a couple of announcements. You know, don't really need to sit. It's just the grow groups. We'll wait for the slide to come up. The grow groups. So, guys, it's Masterton. They're both on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. Carterton. This week we'll be at Chester Road, which is alternating between those two addresses. So if you want to come along for the first time, you're welcome to come along. We're going to be processing the purpose. The other thing I just want to put up as a save the date is a couple of events, geographic training times, just with the relating churches that we are a part of. If you want to come along for that, Auckland, Tyrone Daniel, the guy who leads the international team of NCMI, will be speaking at that. That's just a Friday night and a Saturday morning. And then save that one. That one's so easy. It's at Wellington on that Saturday, the 6th or 16th of May. We're going to go over and join North Base for some training, equipping ourselves. And then the big one is the Auckland Equip. It's a wonderful one. There's churches come from around the Pacific, and people come, and we have a wonderful conference there. So just if you want to be aware of those, be lovely for as many of us to go to those as possible. But otherwise, guys, have a lovely week. Enjoy a coffee, and pray that God's going to just unfold His purposes for us in Jesus' name.
Oh, right, yeah. Oh, I didn't need that one. It was just the grow groups.
Yeah. How long are you going to be?
I'm just
going to
put away what I've got.